Shalom, precious saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour. I'm Reverend Sheila Crawford, and I'd like to begin with the news tonight by looking at the natural disasters first. That horrible typhoon in the Philippines is estimated to have killed 10,000 or more. It's still too early for a final number. Of course, pray for salvations through all this, and for those who are called by His name to experience some testimonial miracles in their lives. NBC News reported last week that fireballs have fallen over California, with more expected. As well, earthquakes are still increasing, and much talk of meteorite debris falling, even asteroids, solar flares, a possible comet coming to Earth. And should I remind you that a few months ago, Russia experienced a rock landing that killed approximately 1,000 people. And what are the strange sounds coming from the atmosphere? Well, you know, Luke 21 says that the sea and waves will be roaring, fearful sights, great signs from heaven, solar eclipses, blood moons expected next year, men's hearts failing for fear of what is coming upon the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. That is certainly how it will be in the tribulation. And we are already seeing the foreshadows, the beginning of sorrows. So how close are we till His trumpet sounds? You can be the judge. Because He says, we will see the day approaching. Hebrews 10:25, Matthew 24:33, and other places. In other news, our president continues to bring curses on America. And I'm not talking about Obamacare, although that certainly plays a part, but I'm referring to the Iran deal being the last nail in our coffin by absolutely turning on our most important ally, Israel. At the last minute, it was France who singularly stopped a very bad deal that essentially would have allowed Iran to continue enriching uranium to finish their building of nuclear weapons, as well as easing Iran's sanctions, which was why they even agreed to negotiate. They just didn't like them anymore, and they don't want them. We should actually increase them. But in exchange, Kerry says it, of course, would be on good faith. Really? They would have to agree to have inspections to show they weren't exceeding their enriching. And I could give you a lot more details, but that's the crux of it. And to top it all off, just last week, the Iranians broadcasted on state TV a simulated missile attack on Israel. No kidding. And they are still holding up their signs that say death to America. Really amazing. Then there's the so-called Israeli peace process. Our government continues to unfairly press Israel to comply with anything Obama and Kerry want, who blatantly keep repeating that Israel's settlements are illegitimate. They say that. And they have actually threatened Israel with a third Palestinian intifada and international isolation, and delegitimizing Israel, while insisting on a false and unrealistic time limit by January to finish the negotiations, even insisting that if they don't comply, Obama and Kerry will write it up themselves. Is that chutzpah? Surely they must know they are in fact fueling the Palestinian agenda. Let me remind you, the God of Israel never slumbers or sleeps, so we need not be concerned for them. However, now we cannot say that about America. The handwriting is on the wall, and anyone with a lick of sense knows how close we are to the beginning of the tribulation. As you know, the United States is losing credibility fast. Even our once Arab ally, Saudi Arabia, still angry over the fact that we did nothing in Syria after the chemical weapons attack, as Obama said that he would. He promised the Saudis. Anyway, now Saudi Arabia has engaged Pakistani soldiers to join the rebels in Syria to fight Assad. As well, Russia is providing Egypt with many various weapons, cruise and surface missiles, drones, and even some 1,500 military troops, all paid for by Saudi Arabia, to make up for Obama reneging on Egypt's peace treaty to supply money that we actually signed an agreement with Anwar Sadat decades ago. Also, as a bonus, Russian ships will be able to access port facilities in the warm waters of the Mediterranean, something they've wanted for a long time. Now, have you heard there are Chinese soldiers in Hawaii? Communist soldiers to supposedly take part in a mock EMP attack? Why communist China? I'm guessing it's just part of the New World Order, no doubt. And isn't it interesting that an employee of Homeland Security tweeted a fellow Muslim telling him that America is a Muslim state now? Is that his opinion? Well, obviously. Could that really be what's behind Obama's amnesty desire? Because it will bring millions of radical Muslims. I say most probably. Then, as in the other parts of the world, watch the persecution escalate. For you know many of them believe if you kill a Christian and drink their blood, it gives them salvation. Well, that surely is enough yuck for tonight. And I welcome your comments. You can send me an email to sheila@chofarministries.net and let me know if you'd like to be added to our send list for the bi-monthly newsletter and occasional updates. Also, mark your calendars for the first Friday of every month to join us at Chester Christian Center, 11815 Chillicothe Road, which is Route 306 in Chesterland, at 7 p.m. The next topic on December 6th is how much does the devil know about the end time scenario? I've got some new information. Finally, it really is just you that keeps this program on the air. So pray and ask the Lord what you can do, for we are still a little short for last month. So please help if you are able. And may he bless you greatly for helping this end of days ministry. Okay, now don't move that mouse. The Shofar Ministries Hour continues right now.
Shalom to all the WHK listeners tonight, and Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed be the name of the Lord. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour on WHKWradio.com, Christian Radio, 1220 a.m. on your local dial. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today, and our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford, is here. And actually, I can't think of a time that she hasn't been here, and we give God the glory for that one.
Right?
Anyhow, tonight we have many scriptures to give you, so get your Bible, paper, and pen to take some notes as we pray that you will gain some knowledge tonight as you enjoy the next hour of learning from God's Word. But first, we're going to pray. We bless you, Adonai, tonight for your goodness and kindness toward us. The evidence that you've given us is that is your Son, our Messiah, Yeshua. We lift up to you tonight many things. There's so many things. There's so many things happening in the world. It's hard to pick and choose who to pray for. But, Lord, we want to lift up the persecuted church to you in Egypt and in other Muslim countries. Lord, if they make their suffering as least as possible and make them really just shine bright as a witness for you in those countries. We also want to lift up those that are called by your name in the Philippines and in the islands that were hit by the typhoon. And but we just ask that you get help and relief to these people as soon as possible. And even in this kind of disaster, that your light can shine through and people will rely on you. And also I want to lift up to you tonight the folks in our federal government who know you and are called by your name. Lord, just strengthen them to withstand the pressure and to stand up for what is right. And just stand against the plans of evil men. And finally, please, Lord, answer all the prayer requests that came in this week. And we know you do, and you know who they are, and you know what their needs are. You know even before we ask. But we ask you, and we pray, and we praise you and bless you, believing that you are going to answer these prayers. And because we know you're a good and kind God. And the evidence, like I said, is in your Son, Yeshua. So we thank you tonight, Abba Father.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, John, who, by the way, has always been the music director for Shofar Ministries. Oh. And what a fine job you do, John.
Well,
and I might add, as long as God provides, we are here every Tuesday at 8 p.m., where we truly enjoy sharing many gold nuggets of our Judeo-Christian truths, especially on eschatology, which Israel is the major player for the end times teaching. Israel's official state status is now back in their land, is actually when the clock for the last generation began ticking.
Yep, it certainly started ticking, and now we're winding down to the end of that generation.
Yes, we are, and I am one of those that fit that generation.
Oh, you mean you were alive when Israel became a state, right?
Well, I was, but as a baby, of course.
Yeah, that's your part of history. And I want to remind you, listeners, that you can hear any of our past shows by going to our webpage, shofarministries.net, and the phone lines are open for your end time questions. That's toll free, 888-677-WORD. And why do we have the phone lines open, by the way?
Well, we do because there's not enough specific information being taught in the local churches about the soon return of Jesus Christ. So I want to give people a chance to ask their questions, because on other prophecy shows, you really can't do that.
No, you can't.
I think we're kind of unique, don't you?
I think so. You can actually call us.
Yes.
888-677-WORD.
But some churches are, and I encourage you to seek them out, with the main criteria being a preterite rapture, of course, as part of their fundamental beliefs. And you just have to call and ask before you attend, you know, what their belief is on the rapture. And that's my advice, should you care to accept it.
And, you know, I think it's important, Sheila, too, because I found out that believing otherwise can really blur some of the other bigger truths in the Bible, too.
Oh, it absolutely does. People don't realize how much it does. Like, for instance, the biggest one would be that you would focus too much on who the Antichrist is and stop looking for Jesus Christ.
Well, yeah, and why would you look for Jesus Christ if you think you're going to be here for the tribulation?
Well, you wouldn't.
You wouldn't look for
him. Exactly. I mean, it's just so obvious. The bride of Christ needs to know how truly close we are to that sound of the last trumpet. So they'll be excited and therefore more intense witnessing. And that's what we have to be doing.
Yeah, we do. And I do, too. And I don't want to be a Laodicean. Or no, that's Laodicean.
Yeah, I don't.
Yes. And that's the church in Revelation that doesn't get too many commendations from the Lord.
Nope.
Nope. Okay. Well, our subject for tonight, I think I heard it in the news.
Yes, as I said in the news, our administration is once again applying heavy pressure on Netanyahu to make a deal with Abbas, any deal, and in fact says if they don't come to a compromise soon, Obama will do it for them, and that just amazes me.
How does that work?
Yeah, really. Everyone knows that Obama is putting extreme pressure on Israel to give up Judea and Samaria and share their capital, Jerusalem, with the worshipers of Allah, which is the moon god from Baal in the Old Testament. And if Netanyahu doesn't agree, it'll just be written up and demand it be signed. Or they're threatened with isolation from the international community.
And here we go. Jerusalem is the stumbling block.
Of course. And has been actually for years, as Zechariah 12 proclaims. But now it's getting really, really intense, because in 93, when they did the Oslo Accords, they put Jerusalem on hold. It was always been, well, we'll talk about that later. Let's just get this done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
Now
it's really coming to a head.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So I think that we should look at the many scriptures that you need to keep a list of, so that's why we say you should have a paper and pencil, to show those who ask you why Israel should be in the land. And I often get asked this question by secularists, you know, that really don't know. And perhaps you as well get asked that question. So at least if you have some scriptures ready, you'll be able to say, well, this is what God says, and I'm a Bible believer.
Mm-hmm.
And especially since the mainline churches, they still label Israel as an occupying power. And that's very, very sad. Of course, they're misguided and ill-informed, but many still believe the Christian church replaces Israel. It's the anti-Semitic dogma called
replacement theology.
That's right.
And its end is something like what we saw with Haman and what we saw with Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it eventually leads.
Yeah. Well, these mainline churches, which, by the way, is described as the Church of Sardis in Revelation 3,
mm-hmm.
you know, like the Presbyterians and Methodists, along with global organizations like the World Council of Churches, have declared war on Israel by boycotting and doing these divestment campaigns, like not, you know, purchasing anything from Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this annual Christ at the Checkpoint conference that goes on every year at the Bethlehem Bible College. It involves Christians, so-called, who meet under a disingenuous guise of reconciliation between Arabs and Jews, but they continue the lie that Israel is an illegal regime and commits crimes against humanity. I mean, this is just awful.
It's blatant lying. So let's be equipped with the truth to be able to stand up to these liars.
Actually. And that's what I want to do tonight. I want to give these scriptures. And we have quite a few, actually. So I hope that you are taking notes. Of course, you'll just be able to write down the scripture and look it up later.
We'll try to be careful, to not go too fast.
Yes, but they will have to look it up later, so if they just write down the address.
There you go.
Okay. Scripture and verse. Anyway, it starts out right all the way back in Genesis. Okay, and we're talking chapter 15, verse 18, and it's the land covenant with Abram. And he said, God said to Abram, to your descendants, I have given this land from the river of Egypt, that would be the Nile, to the great river, the river Euphrates. And that's over in Iraq.
Mm-hmm. Well, here, but we have a little problem already because Abraham was the father of Abram at this point, but he became Abraham. And then he was the father of Ishmael and Hagar, too.
Right.
I mean, right?
Exactly. And that's what they will say. Which is why we should read the whole of Genesis, not just a select few.
Mm-hmm.
As in verses 19 and 20 of chapter 17, where God says, the covenant of the land of Canaan shall be with Sarah's son Isaac. But Ishmael's descendants shall be great as well and have many, many acres of land. And if you ever look at a map, you'll see how small Israel is, and even is smaller when it has all the land that was given it to them. It's still a lot smaller than Ishmael's descendants.
Hmm.
So why should they hone in and just want that other little piece? You can see that it's demonic.
Yes.
You know.
Very much.
But I would like you to read chapter now 26, a little further down, where now God is speaking to Isaac.
Okay, this is Genesis 26, verse 3. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father.
Okay, so now he's confirming that it's not Ishmael, that it is indeed Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then we go a little further on to Genesis 28, 13 through 15, just after Jacob's vision of the angels ascending and descending up the ladder to heaven, God says, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west, and the east, to the north, and to the south. And in you, and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. So that's pretty powerful.
It is, and very clear, too.
Mm-hmm, very clear. Can't mistake it. And then four chapters later, still in Genesis, God changes Jacob's name to Israel, which means Prince with God.
Prince with God?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm, interesting.
God confirming yet again now to Jacob. And in fact, he made him go back to Bethel where he had that dream.
Hmm.
And he told him in Genesis 35:12,
the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, I give to you, and to your descendants after you, I give this land.
See, so he's confirming it again.
Hmm.
And by the way, Bethel today, and then, well, today it's located in the West Bank or Judea and Samaria. Mm-hmm. And that is what Obama is trying to have Israel give away again. More land, and it's
this land, the land specifically.
Right, Bethel
identified,
is in this land.
Identified by the Lord.
And yes.
Very interesting.
It really is.
I think you used the right word, chutzpah, for that.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't want to go against God like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I say, judgment is coming for a lot of other reasons as well. But anyway, Genesis 48:3-4, now we have Jacob telling his son Joseph. So we see we've gone from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, and now Jacob is telling Joseph what God had told him in Bethel. And by the way, originally, in case you're looking at a map, it originally was called Luz, L-U-Z.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Would you read that?
Yeah, Genesis 48:3-4. God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said to me, behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make you a multitude of people and give this land to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession.
Everlasting.
Mm-hmm. Mm. What does that mean?
Forever.
Uh-huh.
Exodus 3:8, God is telling Moses now how he has heard his people cry from Egypt's bondage. And look at what he says in 3:8.
So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites.
And by the way, there's a similar scripture in Exodus 6:4-8 that we won't read right now.
Mm-hmm.
Continuing on now, still in Exodus, we went through Genesis, now we're in Exodus 32:13, where Moses is reminding God after the golden calf incident. So he's reminding God. Would you read that?
Yeah, here's where he's actually interceding for Israel. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of, I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.
Makes me think that when we're praying, we should remind God of his promises to us.
Good point.
Yes.
Good point.
And also in Exodus 19:6, God declares that the earth is his. However, in Leviticus 25:23, he says the children of Israel may sojourn there and never sell it permanently,
mm-hmm.
let alone give it away.
That's...
They weren't even allowed to sell it.
Wow.
Well, permanently.
Well, they heard from the landlord on that one, didn't they?
That's right. So now we're getting to the next book, which is Deuteronomy, where Moses recalls God's instructions to the children of Israel. Go get it. So would you read Deuteronomy?
Turn and take your journey.
By the way, that's verses 7 and 8.
Thank you. Turn and take your journey and go to the mountains of the Amorites, to all the neighboring places in the plain, in the mountains and in the lowland, in the south and on the seacoast, to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them and their descendants after them.
That's right. That was Deuteronomy 1, verses 7 through 8. So again, God keeps showing in the Word and repeating these promises of where their land is and what it is. So for a Christian to say that Jews don't have a right to the land, they're not reading their Bible. It's very obvious.
Very obvious.
And these mainline Christians don't read their Bible much, I don't think.
I don't think you can actually be that. Well, that's my opinion. I will keep it to myself.
That's all right. In the latter days now, after approximately 2,000 years of dispersion, God said that they will return again to their land, and now they are. And we're going to read a couple scriptures when we come back that gives that promise after we have.
Where are we going?
Huh?
Where are we going?
We're going to a song.
Okay, just wanted to know where we were going.
We're going to a song. And,
okay, so we've been...
Don't You Want to Go is the name of it.
Well, don't we want to go?
Yes.
Well, where do we want to go? In the rapture, right?
Yes.
Well, stay with us. We'll be right back after this song about going in the rapture.
That's it. Amen.
Y'all help us out with this one. Construction carried out by God's own hand. 1,500 miles wide, mansions standing side by side. The streets are paved with gold throughout the land. Now let's say there'll be no dying in that sea. No sickness and no sorrow will be known. Don't you wanna touch the next garden and surprise?
Well, welcome back. We enjoyed that song. Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. And we're always dancing to that and running away on halftime. We always dance to that song, don't we?
We do.
Okay. Well, let's get started here. We're getting back into our program on getting the right scriptures to have for people that say that Israel is occupying
the land. That's correct.
So
don't let anybody get away with that. You stand up for your belief.
And stand up to that. And before we get back to that, I just want to tell everyone that if you have a question for Sheila or would like her to speak at your church or group, all you have to do is email her at sheila@shofarministries.net or just call the office 440-834-9006 and please leave a detailed message.
Yes, and your donations are very vital to keeping this program on the air and are still tax deductible. So if you would really like to keep this program on the air and you're being blessed and learning from our teachings, then please consider being a contributor of any gift or perhaps a monthly sponsor.
Also, if you would like advertising for your company on this program, we can do that as well. And you might want to keep that pencil and paper in your hand. And I'll give you this address. Please send your love offering to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513 in Burton, Ohio, 44021. Or you can just go to our webpage. On the homepage, there's a Partner With Us button on the left side. All donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter, so include your email or your house address.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now all newsletters and previous radio shows are archived on shofarministries.net, and you can order recorded teachings there as well.
That's right. If you wanted a CD of tonight's program to maybe give someone that asks about the Jews being in the land, you could have this on hand.
And that's a good thing.
Yes.
It's a good thing to be armed and equipped with the technology that we have today. Now, those phone lines are open mm-hmm. for your questions.
Here tonight.
Tonight. And that number is 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. This is the only prophecy show that you can call.
That's right. And remember, the first Friday of every month at Chester Christian Center, 11815 Chillicothe Road on Route 306 in Chesterland.
Yes, and we began with Messianic worship
at 7 p.m. All right, let's continue with
yes.
the program.
Okay, we have more scriptures for you. We thought we had a lot in the first half.
We have a few more, yes. I don't think we'll probably be able to do all of them, but I do want to... Again, after 2,000 years of dispersion, God did tell them, did promise in his word, that the Jews would again return to their land, and they have been now for a few years now, and they're still coming.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, it's called making Aliyah.
That's what it's called, and that means going up. When you're going to Jerusalem, you're going up, and you were in the land of Israel, and you know that Jerusalem's up the hill.
Up the hill. Mm-hmm.
Up the hill.
It's always up to Jerusalem, even when you come down from the north in Tel Aviv.
It's up physically. It's up spiritually. And when you get up there, you will be up in more ways than one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you'll be
spiritually
blessed, I hear. Everyone that goes there tells me that. So.
Yes. Could you read Jeremiah 16:14-16 and verify what we just said?
Okay. Therefore, says Adonai, the day will come when people will no longer swear as Adonai lives who brought the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but as Adonai lives who brought the people of Israel out of the land to the north and out of all the countries where he drove them. For I will bring them back to their own land, which I gave to their ancestors. Want me to keep going there? Look, says Adonai, I will send for many fishermen, and they will fish for them.
Yes, isn't
I
that
love
great?
That because Peter and John were fishermen.
And Jesus said you will be fishers of men.
Yes.
There it is.
So I'll stop there.
Okay. I'm going to read Isaiah 43:5-6.
Okay.
It says, says, "Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth." And that's exactly what's happening.
Wow.
It is just so awesome. It's just so sad that so many people just don't see all this.
Isaiah, we're going to do Isaiah 43?
Yeah, would you? Is that, no.
No, or we just did that one?
Isaiah 49:22. Do you have that?
Ooh.
If not, I do.
Why don't you grab that one?
And then you get the other one, Jeremiah 23, okay?
Okay.
Okay, Isaiah 49:22 says, "Behold, I will lift my hand in an oath to the nations and set up my standard for the peoples. They shall bring your sons in their arms, and your daughters shall be carried on their shoulders. Isn't that amazing? Because he says he'll make an oath to the nations, which is the Gentiles, that the Gentiles will even carry you home. And I can remember seeing many air flights of Jews coming off that maybe couldn't walk for some reason, and they were being carried by Gentiles.
Wow.
And there it is. It says that I will have the Gentiles carry you.
So you saw that? You saw that?
I saw that.
Fulfilled, yes. In your eyes?
Yes, because not while I was at Israel, but I saw it on the TV.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But that's still in right before your eyes.
And I just remembered that scripture when I saw that.
Oh, wow.
So, read that.
Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 7 through 8. "Therefore, says Adonai, the day will come when people will no longer swear as Adonai lives, who brought the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but as Adonai lives, who brought the descendants of the house of Israel up from the land to the north and from all the countries where I drove them. Then they will live in their own land."
That's,
and you
right.
Know, he's talking about this last day's regathering, because mm-hmm. in former times when he drove them from the land, or they went into captivity, they only went to either Babylon or Assyria.
That's right.
Now we're talking the north, which includes all of most of Europe and the Soviet Union, and that's right. Where we know where most of the Jews were found, mm-hmm. After the in the diaspora. So,
yep.
It's very easy to tell that these prophecies,
scriptures
these
being
are
fulfilled right in our lifetime.
And that is in our lifetime. And see, I was born a little later than you were. So,
I know, you don't have to rub it in.
But I came to Ohio, I guess, when they recaptured Jerusalem. So I know that,
okay.
Some of the dates for that.
Wow, I had already graduated from high school then.
You almost said graduating, didn't you?
I don't know what I'm saying. Okay. Anyway.
I got an education myself.
Yeah. Okay, well, after we read these scriptures, I want to also mention that he says he's going to judge the nations for coming against Israel.
Hmm.
And why? For dividing up his land and giving it to the worshipers of Allah. That's a false god. Hello. And, Joel 3:2 says that he will enter into judgment, for they have divided up my land. And that's what America is trying to get Israel to keep doing. Divide up their land. Oh, why don't they see these things? And then also there's the scriptures.
Ezekiel 36, 1 through
right.
8. You should write these down. These verses of scripture are particularly poignant.
Yes, and I don't think we have time to read those tonight, but definitely I think everyone should. Okay?
Yep, Ezekiel 36, 1 through 8.
That's right. And again, the United States has always been the primary mediator, always, in pushing Israel to give more land away. They started in the 93 thing.
Mm-hmm.
They did it in Gaza, and what an example that became. And now it's being run by Hamas, who, by the way, is really over the Palestinians, although they're not talking about it. But Hamas is calling the shots, and they're not agreeing to anything, any kind of peace agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And yet Kerry and Obama are still pushing and blaming Israel that it's not happening. It's Israel's fault.
Whoa.
It's crazy.
I know. You think they would know, but this is Bible prophecy, and they're fulfilling it, whether they know
they
it
are.
Or not.
That's true, and I have to remember that. I get, it's funny because I do get a little angry sometimes,
mm-hmm.
and then I have to hit myself in the head and say, whoops, this is the way it's supposed to be.
Yes. you know, whether it gets fulfilled intentionally or unintentionally,
that's right.
It gets fulfilled.
Yep.
Now, I am reminded of that book called Eye to Eye, and I think it was by Bill Koenig was the guy that wrote
mm-hmm.
that. And this is a book that lists anti-Israel events and links them to catastrophic events that soon follow over here in our country.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. I should have brought a couple examples of that.
Yeah, you
I can't
could,
think of
yeah.
off the top of my head.
But that's
a
good
book.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Eye to eye.
And again, we know from history what happened to countries like England in 1290 after they expelled all the Jews on right. the Hebrew calendar, 9th of Av.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Well, that infamous day, 9th of Av. Well, England's prosperity and world power fell dramatically.
It did?
Mm-hmm.
Until they finally granted the Jews permission to come back and to resettle, and that was about the year 1657. And then when they did that, once again, England's power rose.
Rose. And, you know, they even went on to have a Jewish prime minister, too.
Mm-hmm.
Benjamin Disraeli.
Mm. Good thought. And then Spain did the same dumb thing in 1492, also on the night of Av. Now,
mm-hmm.
that's really amazing. They expelled like 800,000 Jews. And from that point, the Spanish Empire's fortune began to decrease.
Now, it's interesting. There's a book that claims that Christopher Columbus may have been Jewish.
I had that book, yes.
That and his family converted to Catholicism and obviously forced.
We don't know. Yeah,
forced,
probably.
Like, yes. Under Duras, you know, they were threatened with death, torture, you name it. It was the Inquisition is what it was. So, but on that day they were expelled, Christopher Columbus leaves Spain on that very day, or in that very year, I don't know, same day, I guess?
I think so.
And he's on his way to discover a new world.
Right.
Where our country now is located, and we have been a haven.
Yes, we have.
To a lot of persecuted peoples.
Mm-hmm.
But not all the time.
But again, one would think they would learn from history. But few do, because later in 1917, Great Britain, who had conquered Israel away from the Ottomans.
You mean Israel, the land.
Conquered the land of Israel away from the Ottomans. Thank you for that correction.
Mm-hmm.
Had promised it to the Jews, confirming it in writing in the Balfour Declaration. But just 3 years later, they reversed their promise. England then lost her complete empire. I mean, when you look at this, you connect the dots, it's amazing. But that decision contributed to 6 million Jews being savagely persecuted and murdered, for they had no place to go.
I know. And even our country they didn't want them.
No. Turned them back. Remember that big ship they turned away?
Yeah. That is very, very, very sad.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, you could go back in time.
Due to the Holocaust, though, 1948, Israel did acquire statehood. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Except now it was only 17% of what was originally promised in the Balfour Declaration. And that they're still trying to take that. So anyway, you can look at history and see what God, see that God is true to his word. Again, Genesis 12:3, way back in the beginning, as we said in the beginning of the show, whoever blesses Israel, or more specifically, the descendants of Isaac, I will bless. But whoever curses you, I will curse.
Woe to America. Or oi, you might want to say. That's it, upside down. Oi, oi, oi. We are on our way down. I mean, if we keep on this course.
And we are.
We're going to go the same way as these other countries we just talked about, right? We now have a president who really is turning his back on Israel, I believe.
Yeah. Doesn't give a hoot.
Doesn't give a hoot.
And now asserts Iran's right to access peaceful nuclear power when everyone knows it's not just for running light bulbs. They already have enough for that. But Obama wants to lift their sanctions and really getting hardly anything in return.
Hmm.
He ridicules God's word, says we are not a Christian nation, and in fact says we are more of a Muslim nation, and now brags of his Muslim heritage, which during his campaign he avoided speaking about like the plague.
Yep, but now these people appear to be running our nation.
Especially in the Department of Homeland Security.
Now, Isn't
now
that
is a hoot.
That's a slap in the face, and I hope it's cold water in your face if you don't know this and wakes you up. Hello. High-level positions in our country is being filled.
It is. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
A persecution to fundamental Christians is on the rise right here in the United States, and Muslims are slaughtering Christians, mostly Catholic, in the Muslim nations from Pakistan all the way to Nairobi, averaging one every 5 minutes. Do you ever hear our administration condemning anyone or the Muslim Brotherhood who have massacred thousands of Coptics in Egypt and burned over 500 churches?
No. Instead, he tells the military that unless the Egyptian military allow the Muslim Brotherhood to come back into power, there's no money from the U.S.
That's right. And Obamacare is a debacle, which is just a play for power over the people. It's amazing how Obama is okay with Iran continuing to enrich uranium, but Americans are losing their health care and many of our rights. Hello, anybody out there sees that this man is backwards?
Everything is upside down right now. We were talking about that on the way over here. We can't understand, but I understand that we are in the last days, and this end time scenario has to be set up for the one world leader, and it seems to be we're on course for that.
Okay, enough of that. But anyway, let me ask you, knowing these scriptures and looking back at history, how could anyone say that Israel has no rights to a homeland, with the capital being Jerusalem, particularly East Jerusalem, where stood their magnificent two temples, and yet today it just keeps on happening?
Yeah, just keep making agreements with this enemy, and they never keep up their end of the bargain.
That's right, but as we said, God declared thousands of years ago that these things would happen.
And Joel 3, verses 1 and 2 says, in the last days, I will enter into judgment on the nations who have divided up my land.
That's right, and we can't say that enough. That's an amazing scripture. Ezekiel 36 says, Israel is taken up by lips of talkers and have let themselves be a possession of the nations. I think of the UN. This refers to Edom, which I believe are the descendants of Esau, who settled in Mount Seir in Edom, and today in Israel are the Palestinians, who cannot stand up to Hamas. So why does the U.S. negotiate with the Palestinians? As I said, it's just crazy.
Yeah, and I think the entire prophetic book of Obadiah talks mostly of Edom's destruction.
Yes, it does. In closing, sorry we have to go, let us not forget, though, we are in a spiritual war of good versus evil at its highest. The Muslims need to know Jesus, and many are finding him. Let's all witness to one Muslim this week. They are easy to find, and remember, Jesus died for all. Let's tell them that.
Yes, let's do. And if you have not made Jesus Lord of your life, or you only have a head knowledge of him and you're just kind of playing along, following along with your friends or your family, here's what you do. Get on your knees right now. I mean, really, really, right now. And repent, particularly of those individual sins that are keeping you in bondage. You know what they are, God knows what they are, and they are weighing you down. What do you do now? Just commit or recommit your life to Yeshua. You can trust him. He's your Savior. He died for you. Remember, it's always your choice of where you spend eternity. And God sends no one to hell. You decide yourself where your soul goes. It never dies, and where it spends eternity.
And then fulfill the Great Commission. Do what Jesus told us to do. Go and tell others that Jesus loves them and wants them as one of his own, for judgment is very near. Now, John, could you say the Aaronic blessing from Numbers 6:22 in his perfect language?
Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasim lecha shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Remember, mark your calendars for the first Friday of every month at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland at 7 p.m. Join us again next Tuesday at 8 o'clock.
Until then, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, Jerusalem, shall prosper.
Not maybe.
Psalm 122:6. Until next week, shalom.
Until next week.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the Internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila at ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila at ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.